Please rise as you are able. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As you saw in the children's sermon video, the story that Susan tells is called a protection story, and I want you to apply that to the gospel, the lesson that you're about to hear. Listen to how God is active in protecting those whom he calls. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife and had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The children's sermon is really the opening of the sermon this morning. And that story that I shared is a story about change and loss, about repurposing and accepting that those are all part of life, change, loss, repurposing. As much as I like this little story, because it is a protection story that brings good feelings to those who hear it, good feelings about a time of change, what I most like and appreciate is that the catalyst for that season of change was the blowing of the wind. The blowing of the wind started it all as it took Grandma's hat and blew it off to new adventures. The Old and New Testament both connect the Spirit of God with the wind. The Hebrew word ruach and the Greek word pneuma, a word that we associate with pneumatic or air power. These are both words that are connected with the wind or the Spirit of God. In chapter 1 of Genesis, we hear that the wind or the Spirit of God blew over the waters, and God brought the chaos into submission and brought forth life. The wind, the breath of God, the Spirit of God moved over the waters, and life was born. Just as wind was the catalyst for change in Grandma's story, and just as the wind and the Spirit, the breath of God, was change in the beginning at the creation of the world, so excuse me, so was the wind the catalyst for change for Mary and Joseph. The Spirit of God moved in their life, and life was never the same. When the wind of God blows, God is up to something, and we can trust that through that something, life will be born. In last week's gospel, we heard how Mary responded to the angel Gabriel, who came to her and said, "You will conceive and bear a son." And you will do this by the Holy Spirit. You will do this by the blowing of the wind. And Mary responded, let it be to me according to your word. She submitted to God's plan. She became a willful participant in what God was up to in the blowing of the wind. It's clear from this week's reading that sometime between Gabriel's visit to Mary and the point of the story that we find ourselves in today, Joseph caught wind of the fact that his fiancée was expecting a child, and he only knew that he had nothing to do with it. His questions became normal questions in times of change. What am I going to do now? What can I do? What should I do? So Joseph devised a plan. He would dismiss her quietly. He took the high road. He took the honorable road, at least in terms of his cultural situation. He could have had her stoned. He could have just let her go quietly. Or he could have married her on his own. But he devised a plan that he would dismiss her quietly. He would send her back to her parents, and that would be that. Then the wind blew once again. The angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and said, do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, from the holy wind of God. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph had a plan. Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that what we do when faced with change? We make a plan. And isn't that really what makes us mad about the COVID-19 virus? I had a plan, ... Or I had these plans, ... We had our wedding planned, ... We had our family vacation planned, ... I had my retirement, or we had our retirement planned, ... I had my life planned, ... And then the wind blew. And even now we continue to ask the same old familiar questions. What am I going to do now? What can I do? What should I do? There is another set of questions that we could consider in and through it all. And that's based on the question is, what is God up to in all of this? I said last week that we can wonder, that did God cause this, or is this just a part of nature, or the broken creation, or how do we interpret the times that we're in? But more importantly than how we interpret those times is the questions that we ask in response to those times. What can I do? What should I do? What can I do? Or what is God up to in the midst of all this? It seems to me that wherever the wind of God blows through our lives, it always first involves some kind of loss. For Joseph, in this story, it was the loss of his honorable plan. And perhaps it was the loss of his pride. He had to swallow his pride to take Mary as his wife, to take the high road, to live with her as her husband. Whenever the wind of God blows through our lives, it too often involves loss. I had a plan, ... Now, we can laugh these times of change off like Grandma did. I mean, after all, it was just an old straw hat. It was a straw that sounds like it had served its purpose. Or we can yell and we can scream, we can stomp our feet, we can pout, we can sulk, we can even turn away from God and turn away, push others away. Or we can discern. We can discern and wrestle with God in the midst of times of change, in the midst of times of uncertainty, to discover what God might be up to. Because wherever the wind blows, wherever the wind of God blows, God is up to something. And because we belong to God, we can trust that God is up to something that is life-giving, that God is up to something that is good, like there in the beginning of creation. God said, "Let there be," and it was good. It wasn't until both Mary and Joseph got on board with this pregnancy that they could finally embrace what God had in store for them, that they could fully embrace the adventure that was lying ahead of them. What if that is true for you and for me as well? What if instead of resisting the wind or making our own plan in the midst of times of change and uncertainty, what if we first embrace, certainly we have to make a plan at some point, but what if first we embraced it like a pregnancy? A pregnancy that will end in birth, the birth of something new, something different, something life-giving, something good at the hand of God. Birth never comes without pain. Birth never comes without change. It never comes without its share of uncertainty. But when that little bundle of joy is placed into your arms, oh, joy comes. Goodness arrives, and blessings are there in abundance. Our questions in times of uncertainty tend to be eye-focused. What am I going to do now? What must I do? What will I do to get through or to cope? Where will I go from here? Pregnancy questions are more about being prepared. What needs to get done? What do I have to do to be ready for this moment? It's a time where questions are asked about this word here. How can I prepare for what's ahead? And it's a preparation based on hope. It's a preparation based on a trust that God is in the midst of whatever is churning, whatever is blowing through our lives at that moment. These are more like God questions. Questions that embrace and prepare us for whatever lies ahead. How will God use this change in my life to prepare me for what God has in store? How will God use the fear and uncertainty that I am experiencing at this moment that will give me courage and faith in the future? Faith and courage that will help others around me to get through hard times. How is God preparing me through this time of hardship and change and uncertainty? David certainly got a taste of this as he talked to the prophet Nathan. "I will build God a house," basically, David says to Nathan. And Nathan says at first thought, "Well, go ahead and do what's on your mind." But then God came to Nathan that night with a message for David. "I took you from the pasture," God says to David. "I have been with you and have cut off your enemies. I will make you a great name. I will appoint a place for my people and plant them through what I am doing in your life. I will give you rest from your enemies." it really wasn't about David at all, but it was about what God was doing through David for God's people. And often that's the same in connection with the change in our lives. It's about what God is doing through us for others. That's what preparing for the birth of a child is all about, being ready and prepared for its arrival. Change is always, change and uncertainty is always less about us and more about God if we let it be and if we trust God through it. It's always about birth rather than death when we belong to God, when we are held in God's hands, when we see ourselves as that bundle of joy sitting and resting in the bosom of God. Jesus, too, faced change and uncertainty in his life as he faced his crucifixion and death. Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit, he said. He understood that it was more about what God was doing than about what he was doing. It was about what God was doing through him for others. And so he surrendered himself to God's will and God's plan. And we know that the result of his surrendering was new life. It was resurrection. It was new birth. Dear friends, there is a little mouse living in a new house with a high ceiling, with a garden top roof, because Grandma let it fly. She let go of that old hat. What is God calling you to let go of? What is God calling you to let fly, to release, to let go of? There are times that we need to let go of emotions that hold us down, anger or shame or self-loathing. There are other times that we need to let go of someone or something. What is God calling you to let go of? What is God calling you to entrust to him? Trust God, my friends, in uncertain times. Trust God in uncertain times. And the wind of the Spirit will blow through your life, and it will lead you to adventures that you cannot yet see. It will lead you to serve others in honor and glory to God in ways that you can't yet imagine. Trust in God in uncertain times, and let the wind of change blow through your life, trusting that God is with you.